RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Be on the mic. We're back. Let's go. It's 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Glad to be back with you after a week off. Hopefully everybody's feeling good, rested, refreshed. Kids aren't back at school yet, and apparently Monday's going to be a snow day, so the kids are never going back to school, but we're back. That's what matters. I am not used to the early wake up. That one caught me off guard this morning. I got Stub here with me. Stub,
hey, it's me.
Welcome aboard. Not now, but later in today's program, I want to hear all about your trip to FedEx Field.
Okay.
Because I've been on the air since the Washington Commanders clinched a playoff spot. Nobody's been on the air since Jaden Daniels was named to the Pro Bowl. It happened a few minutes ago. Jaden Daniels, Pro Bowler. Terry McLaurin, Pro Bowler. And we got a lot of first alternates. As they say, it's an honor just to be nominated or something like that. Here's the thing about... Because everybody's going to go straight, Frankie Louvu, we got snubbed, and he had a great season. Bobby Wagner finished ahead of Frankie Louvu in the Pro Bowl voting. I'm going to open the show with my hot take that I give every year. In an event where the fans vote, there are no snubs. Because it's just who do the fans want
right.
to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody gets snubbed from the Pro Bowl. People can get snubbed from MVP, All-Pro, like the prestigious awards that are voted on by a panel of so-called experts. I've been on the panel, so it ain't experts. You know, that's what you can be snubbed from. The question is, we're going to air a Nickelodeon-style football game for 3 hours in the middle of February. Who would you, a football fan, like to see participate in that game? Nobody gets snubbed. The people want to see Bobby Wagner. Travis Kelce, leading vote-getter.
Mm-hmm.
Not at whichever tight end got jobbed by that vote, not a snub. People want to see Taylor's boyfriend.
I see your point.
Yeah.
I do find snubs to be a natural consequence of what the better system for giving out like awards.
Yes. Yes.
Not everything should be a fan vote. This should.
This is the perfect thing for a fan vote. They're going to go play flag football for a couple hours at Disney World. That is the thing we should entrust to the fans. Absolutely.
Yes.
College football playoff, which there's a lot of everybody, oh, you know, the committee and they, that's snubs. Those are snubs. The college football playoff. This is just, who do you want to see goof around with Pluto the dog for a little while in February? Nobody's getting snubbed from that. Not a snub. But it says something to me. Like I don't want to focus. I don't even want to focus on Louisville because Jaden Daniels is dominating the Pro Bowl vote. And I want to say two quick things about this that are big picture things. One is, is the fan base maybe sneaky back, like more than we realize? Because this fan base was gone a few years ago. And you turn on the light, everybody scattered. The fan base that was showing up for games 3 years ago couldn't have put a long snapper in the Pro Bowl. There just weren't enough of them. There were not a lot of fans watching the Washington Commanders, rooting for the Washington Commanders, buying the jersey. They're back. You're back. We're back. We're the home of the Commanders. That means something again. A lot of people are watching these games. A lot of people are having a lot of fun watching these games. Jaden Daniels winning the Pro Bowl vote. That's awesome. That's a good thing for big picture Washington Commanders fans, that there's still enough people that could get reeled back in to do something like that. And two, he's a national brand. We've seen this before, of course, because Robert was this, RG3. But every once in a while, there's a guy transcends the local market. You got to watch him. And Lamar, it was that guy. Michael Vick was that guy, of course. Colin Kaepernick, for a minute, pre all the things, was that guy. You had to watch him every week. He was spectacular, and he'd do fun things on the football field. Jaden Daniels is that guy this year. And that's really cool to have the national guy be in your backyard and be playing great and playing his best football in the biggest moments, no question. Of course, Terry McLaurin, I don't have to tell you how well-deserved that Pro Bowl nod is. All he does is awesome things. So we got a lot to get to today as we get you back in. VCU, they're high on my list of things I want to talk about. Lost at St. Bonaventure. I feel like was it Dennis Green, the Arizona Cardinals? They are who we thought they were. That's VCU basketball this year. They're fine. They're good. It's a good basketball team. It was a great game. This is now the third time we've come in here and been like, man, they fought really hard. They lost a close one. They're good. You can only not win the close ones for so long before it catches up to you. And this would have been a nice one to have, certainly New Year's Eve and Olin. We'll turn the corner quickly. We'll be right back here Saturday on The Fan. VCU at Loyola Chicago, another big one. But it also, I don't want to make people mad 5 minutes into coming back, but it illuminates this disparity between Dayton and everybody else in the A-10, because we're done with the non-conference now. We're in conference play, and everybody sees there's some good teams, and it's going to be a fun A-10 season. And I don't want to take anything away from the New Year's Eve game, because it was a fun basketball game. Came down to the finish, back and forth. Phil Russell was on fire. Fans love him already. Some great plays. A lot going on, and we'll get into all that, and we'll hear Ryan Odom's post-game thoughts. 77-75, you know. And Russell had a great look at the buzzer. He had, you know, that wasn't an easy shot. That was obviously a half-court shot, but that's as good a look as you're ever going to draw up in that situation. That was close. But the disparity is this. Dayton is a bona fide tournament team right now. They played the 47th toughest schedule in America in the non-conference. They won some of those games. They will be dancing in March, full stop. And we said this last year at this time, too. Dayton is a machine. They have already punched their ticket to the dance, and that's good for the league. Then there's a lot of good teams behind them. St. Louis, I think, is good this year. Richmond is not good this year, you know, but they're going to be a tough out for everybody. We're seeing that coming back from 13 down against GW. You know, there are games on the VCU schedule. Certainly Loyola this weekend. Obviously the Bonnies. There are some good teams in the A-10 that are going to be fighting and scrapping for this berth. I didn't mention all of them. I can't get to all of them. It's a good league. But I think VCU fans perceive themselves to be in the Dayton club. We're a little too good for this party. We're a little too good for this conference. We're just hanging out until the Big East calls us, because that's where we belong. And the truth is, we've seen for a number of consecutive years now, they're not too good for this party. They're of the party. They're the a medium fish in a medium pond, and they're swimming and they're eating the smaller fish. They're beating LaSalle. They're handling their business in those games, but in these big games, it's even. And you look at how the non-conference shook out. This was not a VCU non-conference schedule where everybody can be crowing about it after. Let's get to Big East. A-10's holding us back. No, you're an A-10 team. Solidly an A-10 team. VCU had the 8th best strength of schedule of A-10 teams this year in the non-conference. It's just Dayton. There's one good team that can say we need to get out of this place. It's Dayton. Everybody else is fighting and clawing. And it's fun, and I like it, and the games are good, and you're not going to hear me go too hard on them other than maybe that last play, which has been a little controversial online. We'll dive into that, how Firm played it. And, I think people are maybe going a little harder than is necessary on that play, but it wasn't a great look and a great moment, obviously. We'll get to all that. But this is the league. This is where they belong. And if you're in the A-10 and you're upper tier A-10, you got to fight for these tourney bids. And they got to fight the rest of the way. And that starts on Saturday in Loyola. You'll hear it right here on 910 The Fan, of course. Other thing I want to... we got a lot of college football to get to, obviously. The one thing I want to get to out of the gate, though, I don't think any city is doing better in the college football playoffs than good old Richmond, Virginia. So I just want to brag on that for a minute. So let's start with Ohio State. Obviously, who's the best player on Ohio State? Come on, you don't overthink this. It's Jeremiah Smith. I think he's an alien. He's 19 years old, and I truly think he would be the number one draft pick if he came out this year. He's crazy good. But their running back's pretty good, too. He's Travion Henderson. He's a pride of Hopewell, Virginia, which we claim. If the signal reaches the city, we claim it. So he's ours.
The AM or the FM signal?
The AM. No. We can't do that. We're going to lose Hanover High School. We can't do it. But you go down to Hopewell, you dial up 9:10 AM, you're hearing Travion Henderson run all over some fools. You were when Gary Hess was calling the games, now you are at Ohio State National Games. Here he is putting his mark on the Rose Bowl yesterday.
Gets the snap on first down. Henderson running right side, hits his own 35, gets to the 40, down the right sideline to the Oregon 40 goes Henderson, to the 30 of the Ducks, to the 20, to the 10, to the house, Travion Henderson, right around the right side, and his 9th rushing touchdown of the year. That one's 66 yards to the end zone. And how about this?
How good do you have to be doing for the announcer to be that casual on a 66-yard touchdown run at the freaking Rose Bowl?
I mean, the score is 31-0 at that point. I feel like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's... and that was like the final stake in their heart right there. 31-0. If it's... I think it was 24-0 at that before that one.
Yeah, that would be -7.
You can come back from 24-0 because they still had a whole half to play. Mm-hmm. Like 24 in the locker room, Dan Lanning, you clapping, boys, all right, 1.5 we wanted. We can score 24.5. We're Oregon. We're the number one team in America. You go into halftime, 41, down 41. Boys, good luck. Good luck in the portal. Good luck in the NFL. We're going to go play half of football. We're contractually required to. Nobody get hurt out there. Let's salvage some pride, get a couple of garbage time scores. That was really bad. So let's punch in the other one here, because Oregon made it 34-15, and then Travion Henderson, he put a second stake in, and he hammered that one through, too.
Pitch Henderson coming left side. He gets to the 5 and pushes his way into the end zone. Travion Henderson, an 8-yard TD run. His second scoring jaunt of the night. He got behind blockers and stuck it into the left corner of the end zone. And it is 40-15 Ohio State.
I will dive into this later because this could not be a funnier subplot of the college football playoff. The Ohio State fan base has a 0% approval rating for their coach, Ryan Day. They don't like him at all.
Are they Philly?
He can't beat Michigan. He can't beat Michigan. He beat any team in America, but not the one team they want him to beat. They're still salty about it. There's a chance he wins the national title and is still one of the more unpopular coaches in America. That's an amazing subplot for our first college football playoff at 12 teams. Other player locally. And Travion Henderson, right in Hopewell, was a little off the radar. Like, we knew he was good. He was putting up numbers. Obviously, went to Ohio State. He's good at football. Tyler Warren, though, was just a beast at Atlin, like every sport, everything he touched. Quarterback on the team in eighth grade. Ran that Atlin team for 4 years in some of their glory years. Penn State, another big winner over Boise. Tyler Warren got the scoring started for the Nittany Lions.
Play action, Allard. Waits, looks, waits, throws near corner for Warren. He's there. He's got it. Touchdown, Penn State.
I'll tell you, this is an outstanding throw by Drew Allard to lay it up over defenders.
Yeah, Tyler Warren, tight end, Nittany Lions. Penn State's rolling. They're certainly in a good spot. They'll get the winner of today's rescheduled Sugar Bowl at 4. We got two Tyler Warren touchdowns. I think we should play them both.
Allard takes it. Back, blitz coming. Waits, pump fakes, throws in the end zone. Warren goes up, reaches, he's got it. Touchdown, Penn State, Tyler Warren. A spectacular catch in the back of the end zone.
Ah, pride of Atlee there, Hanover County. Shout out Tyler Warren in the college football playoff. Travion Henderson, good weekend for Richmond, Virginia college football players. Two wins there. One more game today, 4 o'clock Sugar Bowl today, the rescheduled one due to the events in New Orleans down there. We'll dive on all the college football as we roll along. You'll hear from VCU coach Ryan Odom. But we are the station with the most Commanders talk in town, and we'll give it to you on the other side. We're back. It's January 2nd. You're listening to MP on the Mic. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Duke's Mayo Bowl down in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. Duke's Mayo Bowl tomorrow night. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. Of course, Virginia Tech Hokies against Minnesota in that one. So we'll bring you all that. We got our guy Andy Bitter. He's been on the show before talking Hokies here. He's got a picture. They've given out Virginia Tech Mayo jars to everybody in attendance for Duke's Mayo Bowl Media Day. That's a collector's item right there. It's no Pop-Tarts Bowl. We aspire to the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Someday we might be good enough for the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Until then, got to settle for the Mayo Bowl. A nice chance for the Hokies to finish out their season. You'll hear that tomorrow night. We'll get you ready for that during tomorrow's show as we do. I'll go straight to it. Big one for the Commanders on Sunday. I am not... There's going to be two schools of thought on this, and I'm fine both ways. So the Philly thing, should Saquon Barkley chase the all-time record? No, that's an easy one. No, Saquon should rest. You don't have the bye. You're back next week. He's a running back in the NFL. He should rest. You should be ready for your playoff game. He shouldn't play. I think that's an easy one. The Lions, I don't know why they played against the Niners this week in a meaningless game. They can make it moot if they win against the Vikings, get the bye. That's just how that team's wired. For the Commanders, though, I think it's a little different calculus. So here's the deal. They're in Dallas, 1 o'clock game. If they beat the Dallas Cowboys, they're the sixth seed in the playoffs. If they lose to the Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay beats Chicago, and we have no reason to think that Chicago will beat Green Bay. There's no such thing as a sure thing in the NFL. That feels pretty close to it, though. Green Bay is rolling, and Chicago has lost 10 straight, dating back to the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary, by the way. We're just breaking teams out here. We are not just winning games, breaking teams, destroying their will to continue to play professional football. So I think you can reduce this to you got to win to get the sixth seed. Some years that doesn't matter. Some years is a lot of good teams. Take your pick. You're going to have to play one of them. I think this is a pretty big swing, though. And that not just for me personally, although I want to make it clear this is about me personally, because there's two ways I'm going to spend my weekend next weekend. I'm going to be in Philadelphia, and it's going to be 4 degrees outside, and a bunch of people in green are going to be throwing the finger at me and cursing at me while I watch football in the cold. Or I'm going to be in Los Angeles, and it's going to be 72 degrees, and it's going to be a 50-50 crowd. I don't even think there are Rams fans. Some people are going to show wearing Rams jerseys. They will be delightfully pleasant to be around as their life is lovely, and they're out there watching playoff football. This is an easy call. I think from a competitive standpoint, the Commanders will be underdogs in either of these games. Obviously, they just beat the Eagles. That was what we would call an extenuating circumstances game right there. Jalen Hurts getting hurt early. They earned it. The Commanders can win a playoff game. They can beat the Eagles in Philly. They could beat LA in LA. The thing that spooks me about the Philly game is the cold. That's a wild card factor, because even that Falcons game, it was rainy, but it wasn't cold. It's going to be cold in Philly.
Did you mention the Tampa Bay scenario?
There is
which
a Tampa.
Which is seeming more likely based off of apparently the Rams are sitting everyone.
You're suggesting the Rams lose, Tampa wins, and Tampa jumps.
Yes.
But Tampa is still in a competitive situation with Atlanta, too.
But if Tampa wins.
Yes. If Tampa wins and the Rams lose, it's in Tampa.
Yeah.
I think that's a good scenario as well. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that, because that's warm.
Yeah.
That's a better fan base, but not the Philly fan base.
Right.
It's the cold, it's the combination of the cold, the fan base, and Saquon, and Hurts. That scares me about Philly.
Well, yes.
I don't think they're a sure thing to lose any of them. I think they could win against Eagles. We've seen them beat Philly. Honestly, the Rams, I think, is the most fun game, because that could be a 42-35 football game. You didn't get me on this team stopping Puka Nacua? You think Michael Davis is hanging with Puka Nacua? Get out of town with that. They're going to score whenever they want to score. But I think these guys can score pretty good, too. I like number 5. I think he's a good football player. He's a Pro Bowler.
I'm leaning Tampa Bay because I think Lattimore will be healthy again if he gets to play Mike Evans.
Ooh. The Rams have two good receivers. You only have one Lattimore. But a healthy Lattimore, and that's the Philly thing, too, right? He can maybe shut down A.J. Brown, but it's the running game that's going to get you ultimately. If you could put him on Brown... Tampa's kind of your classic good enough but not great team. It would be a revenge game for Week 1, where Jaden wasn't Jaden yet in Week 1. I think there's a lot of very intriguing elements to that game, potentially. I also like that because I think that gets us out of the Sunday night time slot, or the Saturday night time slot. I like a daytime game. I don't want the late night game. You were at the late night game. The late night game does things to you. Late night game does things to you. You're looking at Austin Eckler back too, maybe. You're looking at a good roster, a team that's peaking at the right time. But I'm going all out to beat the Cowboys this weekend. Whether it's the Tampa scenario, which I think is great, the Rams scenario, which I think is great, I think either of those are just conclusively better than the Eagles scenario. So I'm going all out to win in Dallas. Now, the thing about that is, I think Dallas is going all out, too. They're not close enough to tank. It would mean a lot to them to win a home game in front of the fans against the rival. How many times have we seen that the other way in recent years, where these guys get fired up to go get the win against Dallas because it's the only thing that salvages an otherwise miserable season? I think that's an important factor as well to keep in mind. The real risk here is you go all out to win and you don't win, because that's kind of deflating. If you don't try to win and you do win, that's awesome. Everybody loves that. If you don't try to win and you don't win, well, you didn't try to win. You didn't care.
Right.
But if you care and you don't win, that stings a little bit. That's a tricky one. Also, somebody was asking Dan Quinn if they were going to just stay out west after playing in Dallas for the Rams playoff game. To which I think we need a geography lesson here about that. I don't know how that became a topic of conversation. No, by the way, is the answer. I think everybody's superstitious as all get out, and I respect that. Like, as a fellow football fan, yeah, do you? They had that great trip earlier this year where they stayed in Arizona for a week before the Cardinals game, beat the Cardinals. That was a big early season moment for them. I think everybody wants that magic. This isn't that, because when they finished the game against Dallas at 4:30, they're actually 6 hours from knowing who they play in the playoffs and when they play them. You just fly back home. You get out.
Well, there's three options.
They're on private jets. If you need to get back to L.A., you get back to L.A. It's not the end of the world. I don't know how that became a topic of conversation, but it did somehow. The other thing that happened over the week, Fedarian Mathis got waived. We're basically out of Ron Rivera draft picks here, and I think St. Juice is going to get waived this offseason. I don't think he's coming back. This is, you mentioned Lattimore, though, stuff. They got to get Lattimore back, because the Michael Davis thing isn't working. And you probably broke St. Juice a little bit when you benched him the first time for Lattimore and then for Davis. Maybe get him a little momentum this weekend. Maybe get him back as good as you can get him. But I think he's gone too. It's wild how few of these guys are left. And people sometimes forget Terry McLaurin, not a Ron guy, predates him. So there's not even.
It's B Rob.
I got bad news for you on B Rob's future with the team. Hasn't been going great the last few. I love him. He's the man. I don't think that's the direction Adam Peters is heading. Let's stay in the NFL. When we come back, we'll do our picks for the weekend, because this is always the craziest weekend of football. Lots of scenarios all over the place. Of course, Commanders are competing for the sixth seed. I think it matters. I think I'd go all out. I think I'd play them. When we get to hour number two, I want to do kind of a mini Commanders rewind. We'll revisit the game, which I did last night. Share a few thoughts with you on that. It's the Thursday program. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910
The Fan. MP on the mic,
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. We're back. Did you miss us? Back after a week away. Stubb manning the ones and the twos today. I always love having him on board. Taking you up to a big weekend of sports here on The Fan. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Pick your day. Three card Monty. Pick your day. We got something good for you. Tomorrow night, Virginia Tech football in the Mayo Bowl. They're playing for all the Mayo tomorrow night against Minnesota down in Charlotte. We'll bring that one to you Saturday. VCU basketball, it's getting sneaky big early here. They're at Loyola of Chicago playing the Fighting Sister Jeans. The 100-year-old nun will be in attendance. Can VCU overcome its deficiencies on the inside and the power of prayer? We will find out Saturday here on The Fan Sunday.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Of course, 1 o'clock, the Commanders and the Cowboys playing for the sixth seed. I think it's very, very deeply meaningful. The rest of the NFL is reacting to the Pro Bowl rosters this morning. The one thing that I'm seeing everybody zero in on, Patrick Mahomes is not a Pro Bowler this year. Three AFC quarterbacks. It's Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. And to the people who have been watching football all year, I say, you know, that's correct. Mahomes is not better than any of those three this year.
Yeah, if you just consider the regular season up to this point.
Yeah.
Is he better than all three, like, throughout?
If there are 2 minutes left in a playoff game next month and I need a score, I tell you who I'm calling.
Yeah. Every time.
Because he comes through every time. Jaden's rapidly rising up that list as well in a really big-time way that's been a lot of fun to watch. Yeah, it is correct, and also, I don't want to play Mahomes. Lamar's a Pro Bowler. We'd rather play the Chiefs. Nobody's saying that.
Yeah, he's simultaneously the best quarterback in the NFL, and I understand why he's not in the Pro Bowl.
And he's the fourth best in the AFC.
Yep.
What a leap, because then any of those four are better than any of the NFC quarterbacks this year. The Goff, Darnold, Jaden Daniels Pro Bowl team. That's a parlay that would have paid out really well at the start of the year. The Goff, Darnold, Jaden Daniels NFC Pro Bowl starting quarterback lineup. That did not see that one coming from a distance. Had no visions on that one. It reminds me of...
I've considered Goff.
Yeah, of course. So coming off a good year, yes, you would have considered Goff. You wouldn't have considered the other two. It reminds me of the Mahomes. Reminds me of when Peyton Manning won his last Super Bowl in Denver. Had a terrible year. The defense dragged him across the finish line. One of the guys on that defense ended up on the Redskins a few years later. And I was chatting with him in the offseason once. I said, like, were you guys mad at Peyton? Like, because he wasn't good, but he was getting all the attention. The defense was winning all the games and it was super. I was like, was there friction? We were just chatting. Was there friction between you and Peyton? He completely serious said, we don't come close to winning that Super Bowl without Peyton Manning. I said, we're talking about the same season. He said, yeah, I know the stats weren't good, but every single day in that facility, he gave us the belief that we were going to win that week. He gave us the things to watch for. He knew what was going to happen. Like, every time we ran out of that tunnel, we're like, we're running out of that tunnel with Peyton Manning. We're going to win today. Even though he was not the reason they were going to win that day. And that's a little bit of the Mahomes thing.
Yeah.
No, he's not good. Yeah, they're 15-1. Something's happening in that building. Every time they run through the tunnel, they think they're going to win.
What did Micah Parsons say the other day? That game would have been close if there wasn't a scoreboard.
Yeah, we lost to the Eagles 40-8, but it was closer than it seems. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. If 40-8, really, can you say? Going down Redskins memory lane again, they were in Carolina. They got waxed by them like 37-14. When it was 14-14, there was a close call that went against Washington. And after the game, I think it was Jason Hatcher, was fuming. He said, that call cost us the game. The refs cost us this game. And it was like, but what about the four touchdowns they scored after? That call cost us the game. Okay. I'm so sure. Here's where I want to start with our Commander segment with Dan Quinn. Giving credit where credit is due, and it's not Jaden. We'll talk about Jaden. He's plenty good. It's not the run game. It's not the D-line. It's y'all. It's you guys who have been sitting through this for a long time and still showed up this season for, you know, to run up the hill again, to kick the football again with Lucy holding it, and you're getting repaid for that. So here's DQ.
First thing I want to acknowledge is as the fans and feeling their energy tonight for five quarters, man, we felt every bit of it. And they really deserve a cool win like that. And so for us to have that connection with them, they're as big a part of it as you can imagine when you're feeling it on the sideline, the energy, and all the way through.
He's right. That's you, Stubb. You're the real MVP here. It was cool to see. It's cool to see everybody come back, rally around this team, have a team worth rallying around, and be able to feel good about it because of the ownership situation. Because of, you know, Jaden seems like a cool dude. I don't know him all that well. He seems like a cool dude though, and he's a heck of a lot of fun to watch on the football field. Let's roll down to the two Zach Ertz plays. It's kind of Commander's rewind roulette here. I'm going to talk about Zach Ertz for a minute because at the end of the Philly game in Philly, I was critical of the team. I thought they had a chance to win, but they were just cutting their losses and getting out of there. In those moments, Zach Ertz was still playing his butt off and making big catches. He got the touchdown. He got the two-point conversion. He was still high motor, going hard. Before the season, I said two of the big, big questions we have to answer are, can Bobby Wagner play 17 games? And can Zach Ertz play 17 games? Because, and this is true, they're old. And they've played a lot of NFL football. And the answer both ways has been a resounding yes. So this is Zach Ertz appreciation here. We'll start with this one where Zach Ertz, against all odds, gets yards after a catch.
Daniels has to step up away from pressure again. He does to the 20. Throws underneath Zach Ertz with the catch. 35-40. Cuts back and gets the range. 45-50 into Atlanta territory. Brought down inside the Atlanta 40. The big play they needed to get a spark in the offense.
And it came from Jaden Daniels being able to escape pressure.
That's the start of the second half. So that's the start of the second half. They're down 17-7 coming off the Atlanta field goal. I don't think you can overstate how big of a drive that was to get the momentum, to get it to within one score, and Zach Ertz, of course, finish off that drive with an equally impressive catch. Here he is.
Here's the snap to Daniels. He's got time, backing up, surveying, looking, throws it in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Zach Ertz! And Washington's back in it!
Bring it up, baby! And this is all Jaden Daniels. Outstanding protection by the offense.
Yeah, now we're talking. Let's go. Jaden Daniels to Zach Ertz. Great connection. Did we see it again? We did see it again. Before we get to the game winner, though, here's what I love about this coaching staff. They coach to the game that's being played, and that feels like a dumb cliche Tom Brady on Fox thing to say. But every game unfolds differently in the NFL, and they react differently to every game. And it's been really cool to see Cliff Kingsbury do that. Because going in, it felt like this was maybe going to be a shootout back and forth, score some points. The number one priority coming out of the locker room was, you've got to bottle up Bijan Robinson. And there were two ways to do that. One was to tackle him when he ran with the football, and they did that. But number two is, don't let him touch the football. And so that drive, that first scoring drive, they start obviously 15 minutes on the clock to start the second half. Finish at 7 minutes 13 seconds. So they took half the third quarter to score. Atlanta goes 3 and out. Instead of hitting the gas, instead of throwing for everything to go for the lead, because that's NFL wisdom, and that's what you should do. Anytime you get a takeaway or a turnover, a big momentum swing, your next play needs to be a deep pass. For these guys, it needs to be a deep pass to Terry, because if you have momentum and you can double it, then you're off and running. It's a game of runs. It's a game of momentum. Instead, they do another 7-minute long touchdown drive. They keep Bijan from gaining a rushing yard for 15 minutes of game time for the whole quarter and halftime. He's ice cold again. He's on the stationary bike on the sideline. He's trying to stay warm. He's trying to stay fresh. They lock him out of this game, and they do that because Jaden Daniels can run for a first down anytime he wants to. Let's go to the game winner because we're doing Zach Ertz appreciation at the moment before we switch to Jaden Daniels appreciation. It's third and goal from the 2, and on my group chat, we're discussing if it's fourth and goal from the 2, do you go for it or not? And it's an interesting decision because if you kick the field goal, you're opening the door to Atlanta kicking a field goal. The tie is good in that it gets you in the playoffs, but it costs you the sixth seed. I think I would have gone for it.
I don't know how much the broadcast picked up on after the second down play, Jaden looking like he might not take the snap.
Yeah.
Did the broadcast catch that?
I saw that.
Because live, he was like squatting and he was like sitting and it looked like he was about to go off the field. And then I saw later on Twitter, Marcus Mariota went up and talked him up into it.
He ran for 6 on that second down play. And he was, as anybody feels it after running for 126 NFL yards. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was curious what was going to happen if he did not take that snap. It seemed like that. That's what the feeling was to me.
We were flying towards field goal territory if they didn't take that snap. He was in Cam Scatabo territory, where they could say he was profusely vomiting all over the field. That was more than I needed to know of the Cam Scatabo situation. One of the great individual performances I've seen in a long time, Cam Scatabo. This isn't Jaden Daniels' appreciation yet. This is still Zach Ertz' appreciation. This is a high degree of difficulty catch.
Two tight ends to the left. Here's the stats. Jaden's going to throw for it. He does. Into the end zone.
Catch.
Zach Ertz, who wants to go to the playoffs? Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! They win in overtime! We'll see you in the postseason!
Are you freaking kidding me? This is a missile.
Hand up here. I want to go to the playoffs. Playoffs sounds fun. I started covering this team in 2012. We've turned the calendar to a new year. That makes 13 years of covering Washington football. Never seen a playoff win. Sure feels doable with number five. We'll do Jaden Daniels' appreciation. We'll revisit VCU St. Bonaventure. We'll hear from Ryan Odom. We'll do it all. We got another 45 minutes with you before we send you off to Rome is Burning. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.
Victory week for the Commanders. Big one on tap Sunday, as you know. I think the sixth seed gives you a chance to win a playoff game.
I'd be a little worried about the seventh seed, a little worried about going up to Philly, playing a zero-degree game up there. In a game where, all due respect to the defense, it's going to have to be a Jaden Daniels special if you're going to win a playoff game. I'd rather have Jaden in Tampa or L.A., a little more tropical environment than Jaden in 0 degrees in Philly. Not that he can't play in the cold, but it's less fun and it's less enjoyable for a quarterback, especially a running quarterback, to do so. Virginia Tech in the Mayo Bowl. They'll play this week, of course. Bowl games all over the place. We got the Sugar Bowl today. You're watching ESPN, the sport, watch everybody trying to dance around. Like, how do you break down the Sugar Bowl? We'll also be like, and our thoughts and prayers are with the people of New Orleans. So this show will not be attempting to walk that tightrope. I will say I am glad they moved the kickoff time to 4, because I don't know how much you guys know this. The Rose Bowl is like the most important college football institution.
Yeah.
And they kick off at 5:15 every year. And ESPN has asked them nicely, has begged them, has used the stick, tried to get that game to kick off at 4 so that the late game can start at 8 mm-hmm. in a reasonable TV window. And the Rose Bowl's told them where they can stick their start times. So that late game, that Sugar Bowl, normally starts at 9 p.m. And that's not a big deal for you, Stubb, but I'm old. LeBron turned 40 while we were gone. Yeah,
and he did.
Ovi's 39. Yeah, the heroes of my youth are now the heroes of my 40s. And the 9 o'clock kickoff is not good for anybody. So the 4 o'clock kickoff will be much better. Hopefully there'll be some juice there. I saw tickets are now down to like $10 online because people got to go back and live their lives.
It's yeah, what?
It's a work
January 2nd.
You got to cut your losses.
You're
and
done.
Just get out of there. Yeah, that's. Hopefully it'll be a good atmosphere. I think that's got the best potential of any of the four games. So hopefully it'll be safe and that'll be a good one. That'll be 4 o'clock today. Yesterday, I did not see the Rose Bowl turn into what it turned into. That was a wild one. Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State. The Buckeyes are so good, and I love it because they couldn't beat Michigan, so the fan base is still just rabble-rousing about the whole thing. Feel a little bit for Oregon, who is definitely the best team in college football this year. And then that's it. You're done. That's the playoff life. 12 teams in, 11 teams unhappy. Nobody leaves the playoffs feeling happy. If anybody does, it's Arizona State. I hope they leave feeling good about what they did, because they could. They should.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
I hope so. It's tough, you know.
Maybe not the kicker.
And you know what? Cam Scatabo, you're not going to tell him like it's a moral victory. You know, he's out there vomiting, you know, scoring touchdowns, winning the game. But I hope he sees. They entertained America and showed what they got and certainly defended their birth. I thought Boise did, too. I know the score was lopsided on that one. I thought Boise hung with them pretty well, though. Certainly defended giving them the 3 seed, which was appropriate. I wish they had gotten a home game. That's how I feel about all. So the 3 teams that got byes have all lost so far.
Oh, yeah.
It's the 3 teams that played a home game
that have won in the second round, and we'll see what Notre Dame does today. I just think everybody should get a home game. Those top four seeds, Boise, Oregon,
yeah, they deserve... you're the one seed in college and you don't get to play one playoff game at home.
They deserved to beat up a bad SMU team in front of a home crowd and have that nice moment instead of just getting thrown right into a big, tough football game. I get where the bye is a football advantage. Boise should have gotten a game on the Smurf turf. They should have made one of those SEC schools fly up there. Let them wax Ole Miss or something. Just for fun. I want them to fix that. I want more home games, especially for the good teams. Weird home game in college basketball 2 days ago. It was on New Year's Eve. VCU up at St. Bonaventure. Now, you got to play them. You got to go up to Olean. I think this was probably as good a time to do it. Students are gone. It's New Year's Eve. Still a great atmosphere in there. It was a great, great basketball game. Back and forth. Phil Russell caught fire in the second half. These guys can shoot their way back into contention anywhere, anytime. They don't have the interior play. I think this showed as much as anything how they're going to cover for that when they get to A-10 play. But when you don't take care of business in the non-conference, these have a magnified importance. Here's Ryan Odom after the game chatting with Robbie and Rodney. You heard it right here on The Fan. He's breaking this one down for you.
Not enough disruption on our part, to come out of that game and they only have six turnovers means we're not, we weren't bothering them enough throughout the game. Certainly 75 points is enough to win the game, but 77 is way too many for our defense. And just not pleased on that side of the ball, in this game, especially on down to the wire. Too many breakdowns. Some of our offense led to that at times in the first half, some poor play, poor decisions, up the court, stops, slipping, just not very clean with it in that first half, and did better in the second and got some cleaner looks. Phil certainly, did a nice job of keeping us in it and giving us a chance. And others, made some plays as well. Joe got it going in the second half and did much better. Zeb used his quickness. Max had some plays. But ultimately, defensively, we fell short in a game that was a possession game there down to the end.
Yeah, but possession by possession, and that last possession went as well as you could have hoped it would. Phil Russell got a three just inside the half-court line. Good look. It's the guy you want to take it. They drew that one up well. He had the chance. It didn't fall. Obviously, would have gone down with some of their legendary wins in the A-10 if he had hit that. Obviously, the game they had up there that they pulled out as part of that wild sequence where then they had time put back on the clock, the 0.4 seconds win. There have been some good ones over the years. The Rams just couldn't contend with, as Melvin Council, Noel Brown, Jonah Hinton. Those three all put up points for the Bonnies. I don't mind an offensive game, and even you could tell even Ryan Odom was kind of scraping for, like, he didn't really want to blame the defense because he just knew it would be this kind of a game. They just came up one possession short. I think the one everybody's going to focus on, Brown's driving for the winner, coming off the screen, and Furman cheats way up. He's way past the arc. Should he have stayed back? Should he have hedged more? I think that's one where they draw it up on the whiteboard one way, and in a situation like that, you just got to have the awareness to play it another way. And it's hard to blame him for doing what I think the textbook tells you to do, what their coaching tells them to do. In that situation, you'd love to see him stay back a little bit. The big man thing is a thing. So Jack Clark officially counts as one of their big men. I don't know how much he really does it in life. Bamboye had a little bit of a rookie game. Firm had that last play. But Jack Clark's the one I want to zero in on, because Jack Clark has been ice cold for 2 months now from behind the arc, and it's not helping them out at all. Here's a little more Ryan Odom on the big men and how they played up there in Olean.
Certainly, the offensive rebounding is something that's really important to us. We've tried to get better at that this season. I think we have. The numbers will tell you that we have. The defensive rebounding is not where it needs to be right now. We've got to get better with that. And sometimes we get stretched out. We get switched. You know, we're coming over to contest because we're getting beat down the lane. And then now all of a sudden we have two guys contesting and their biggest guy is left near the rim. It's not something that we don't know, as players and coaches. It's something that we have to execute, right? And so you have to execute it in the heat of the moment when it's most important.
So, you know, Coach, I know one thing's fans, and we take a look at it as the growth of our post players, both Christian and Luke Bamboye. Do you feel like they gave you enough today to contribute to the win? You know, Christian ended up with 6 points all in the second half, and Luke had a couple good block shots.
Firm looked more like himself, you know, out here tonight than he has in some games past. And Luke had a freshman game, right?
Right.
I would say probably, you know, tonight he got in foul trouble. He had a couple of, you know, rough calls, I would say. You know, he wasn't getting his money's worth, you know, an offensive rebound and knocks the guy over here, and that gives him his third. Might have been his second, I can't remember which, but and we played a little bit smaller at times, you know, to account for that, and we'll see kind of how much, you know, fruit we got from that.
It's tough with Bamboye. You're putting a lot on a kid who, you know, is new, is a rookie, is not a traditional 4-star, 3-star blue chip kid, so it's hard to put the game on him. My big takeaway for VCU, I think they can win any of these. They're top tier A-10. They were competitive. I thought they did a nice job of negating their weaknesses. I thought they did a great job on the offensive boards. Those numbers were very good. But also, this is a team that's going to be fighting and scrapping for its tourney bid all the way into March. It would certainly help to get a win on Saturday. Certainly help to get a win at Loyola. You're going to need a few of those. But this may come down to March. This may come down to 3 days. Up there in D.C. at the A-10 tournament this year, it's just hard to see this team locking it down before then. You can lose it before then, but I don't think they're going to be able to win it before then. Tough road trip continues. On Saturday, you'll hear it right here on The Fan. We'll continue Jaden Daniels' appreciation, take on the rest of the NFL, everything else going on in the world of sports. We'll do that on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Half an hour to go. Programming announcement. I'm always the last person to know things. No Jim Rome today. Rich Eisen. So that's pretty cool. Rich Eisen, of course, NFL Network. He and Dan Patrick had the back-to-back radio shows for a while. We had Dan Patrick as well. I always enjoyed Dan Patrick's show. I always enjoyed Rich Eisen's show. So I'll enjoy Rich. Jim Rome was polarizing. I liked him. He's full of himself. And he's very repetitive.
I mean, that's talk radio.
But that's talk radio. He's entertaining, though. It's one of the, like, you don't have to love him as long as you're entertained by him. I was always entertained by him. When he got over himself, he was really good at radio. But I think Rich Eisen's really good at radio too. So Rich Eisen coming up at 12 o'clock for you. AWOD returns tomorrow. We're back in Saddle today. If you missed anything, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. Good to be hanging with Stubb. Thanks for answering the early wake up call here.
No problem.
So we all readjust.
I'm gonna be like a normal adult. Get into work at 9.
Me too. We're all readjusting to life here. Jaden Daniels' appreciation before he bounces around the rest of the NFL. I think we need to just zero in on how special that performance was, both throughout the game and then with the chips down in overtime. So let's start. Let's go back to the clips here. You heard it right here on The Fan. Bram Weinstein, London Fletcher on the call, and they're as impressed as we are. You just can't help but your jaw drops open when you see these plays.
Big moment here early in the second half. B-Rob's the back. Jaden keeps rolling to his right. They're not going to stop him. Inside the 15. Out of bounds. Conversion. First down, Washington.
You want to know what's the superpower of Jaden Daniels? It's things like this. The ability to get out of...
That's the superpower. That's the good stuff. They go for it on fourth down way more often now, and it makes me really happy when they do.
It was electric.
Yeah.
They did it so many times.
So many times. you know he's going to keep it. You know he's going to get it.
There was the one throw where we thought he didn't make it, where he lunge.
Incredible.
Body. Who caught that?
The first fourth down was the first drive.
The fourth and five.
Where he faked the handoff, rolled out, and threw the touchdown pass, which was such a trend breaker because he always runs on those. Mm-hmm. So to watch him throw it was wild. No, then there was the lean in the second half.
Yeah, the lean.
The lean. That was the running back, right? Was
that Rodriguez?
Was that I was going to say McNichols.
I don't remember. I couldn't. Again, the speaker didn't work. I didn't hear names.
It wasn't B-Rob. It wasn't
Eckler.
It wasn't Eckler. I feel confident about that. No, the lean. It was McNichols.
Okay.
Yes. Fourth and three from no man's land, from the 39. So you can't kick a field goal. Mm-hmm. You don't want to punt it. Fourth and three, they gave it to McNichols. The reach.
That was incredible.
Yes, just watching it happen in slow motion, you know, as he reaches for it and gets it. Rodriguez came in to finish that drive.
Okay.
He got the carries, four straight carries, finished it off with the touchdown. That's the one that made it 21-17, which was good. Good offenses make running backs good. No shade to Chris Rodriguez. I don't think he's a great running back, but you plug him into this system where everybody's afraid of Jaden Daniels running, everybody's afraid of Zach Ertz, everybody's afraid of Terry McLaurin, you become a good running back quickly. And we saw the offensive line, I thought, took a step forward. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the Sam Cosmi holding penalties. Here's what I'll say. One, they're not penalties. When you pull the guy down in front of you, inside the shoulders, that's textbook not holding. Two, this officiating crew called it every time. You got to stop doing it.
Yeah.
You got to stop doing it. It does no good to go over to the ref and explain that you're right. He is officiating the game. You are not. Hey, but I was right. I'm going to go do it again. Yeah, they're going to flag you again. So was Sam Cosmi right? Yeah, I think he was. But also going into the game, scouting reports are about the refs too. On Thursdays, they announce who will officiate each game. They get a ref scouting report. These guys called the most holding penalties in football so far this season. You got to be ready. You got to be ready for that. And then they didn't adjust in game to it either. A weird blemish on the Sam Cosmi resume. You know that's my guy. You know I'm not going too hard on that. Jaden Daniels, breaking news, is your rookie of the week this week in the NFL.
Oh, wow.
I know. 11 times. Pepsi Rookie of the Week. 11 of the 17 weeks. That is extending the record now because he already broke the record. Extending the record, you saw one of the 11 Rookie of the Week performances. He is also one of the Pro Bowl starters, which is an important distinction for quarterbacks because in the end, like, Aiden O'Connell's going to end up being the Pro Bowl quarterback because
Minshew played last year.
None of these guys actually want to do it. He is the fourth rookie quarterback to be a Pro Bowl initial starter. RG3, Dan Marino, Dak Prescott.
The thing is, now that we're doing flag, he's perfect for flag.
Oh,
I don't think anyone voted with that in mind.
No, but I would take him on my flag football team any day of the
week.
He was built for that. he was built for
him and Lamar are QB1 in flag.
The funny thing that hangs over everything is every time he does something, it's first since RG3, and not Commanders records, league-wide records. And I was on a show the other day, and somebody was like, is this the most electric you've seen this town in decades? And the answer is no, because this town was this electric for RG3, too.
So decade.
Decade, singular. Everybody was like, yeah, but we knew that was fool's gold. No, we didn't. We figured it out eventually. But in that moment, in that season, no, we didn't know. Knowing both of them, having been up close for both of them, there are very obvious differences that lead me to say this will end differently. But in the moment, we were every bit as excited for RG3. We don't have to run from that. It's crazy. This franchise, which has set the marks for futility over the last 30 years, and now has two of the four greatest rookie quarterback seasons of all time. You got to build on it. And you know what I think, which is they are so well positioned for this offseason. Ton of salary cap space. Everybody's going to want to come play with them. They got a good general manager. The future is very bright. But it's funny just in the sense that we have been here before. We've done this before. Coming off of that RG3 rookie season, the next year, the Washington Post picked them to win 11 games. Jason Reed, the columnist, said they'll win 11. We all thought that. We're all going to pick them to win 11 next year with Jaden. Nothing's guaranteed, but I like these guys a lot. Did we play the overtime run? We haven't played the overtime run. Let's play the overtime run. Overtime, every chips on the table. You're playing for the playoffs at home, and one guy says, "Everybody get on my back. We're doing this thing." Doesn't miss a throw. Doesn't miss a run. Just drive down the field solo. One of the most impressive things I've seen in a season full of impressive things.
In motion, Luke McCaffrey to the right, back to the left. Daniels has it. Here comes pressure. He has to run away from Grady Jarrett. Gets to the 50. He's going to get the first down at the 45. Shakes a defender. Going down the sideline and out of bounds near the 35. Jaden Daniels does it again.
Come on, how many times you got to learn a lesson, bro? You keep losing this edge on...
You can't lose the edge on Jaden Daniels. Runs out of bounds, too. We love the run out of bounds, especially at that point of the game. He was so gassed. You mentioned it. We didn't... Was he going to finish the game? You felt like he was going to. It was not a sure thing, though. I was wondering if they were going to call a timeout to give him...
Yeah, I thought he was going
to
walk off.
To give him a minute, yeah. It's...
I don't know. I was ready to believe in Mariota to get that ball 2 yards.
No, you weren't.
I was.
No, you weren't. I wasn't. I was. And on the other side, Penix was wild because he had some great throws. And he had some horrible throws. Rookie quarterback game... He was up and down. I think they'll roll with him into next year. The Kirk Cousins carousel. This is going to be a great year for quarterback carousel because you got Kirk. He's going to land somewhere. The Brock Purdy situation in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Darnold in Minnesota. Do you let him walk?
I'm hearing JJ could walk.
After nothing.
Yeah. Well, not walk, but like they're
you could deal
accepting,
him
yeah.
And stick with Darnold. Aaron Rodgers. You can't tell me that Aaron Rodgers is going to hang him up voluntarily. I think he wants another.
Will anyone pick him as a starter?
I don't know. And if they do, I want him to go to the Vikings and do the full Favre circuit. That would be incredible to me. They let Darnold walk. JJ's a quarterback. You need a veteran backup.
But does Aaron go somewhere if he's a backup?
That's the question.
I don't think so. Does Cleveland take him?
There's so many good backup jobs that like can turn into jobs quickly, but you got to be choosy about it for sure. I don't think he's ready to let go. I don't get the sense he's gonna sunset it off of this one. I think he's still got another year in him. I'm excited to see which team gives him that year. Cowboys are a mess. The Giants need a quarterback. They're gonna come into the market hot, ready to play.
I guess it's just who drafts. Who drafts a quarterback and wants to start them week one? Are we going to Jacoby Brissett with Aaron Rodgers for 4 weeks?
Is there a quarterback worth starting week one in the draft? We'll get to that as we get closer. I don't think there is. Shadur, Cam. I think Cam's the closest. It's not Ewers and it's not Beck. They're not ready. The problem is they may not be ready. I don't know that there's a guy you pick in the draft and you just week one let him fly. That's right. So much of this is luck where the Commanders were bad at the best possible time to be bad, to get in on that great quarterback.
Is Aaron Rodgers a week one Tennessee Titan?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Oh, I couldn't get enough of that. You sign on the dotted line for that. Oh, could not get enough of that. Absolutely. We'll wrap this up. We'll keep track of everything we missed. We'll get you ready. We'll send you off to Rich Eisen. We'll do it all on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan, Nat 105.
I just Stubb and I over here teasing out the playoff matchups, which does anybody have more riding on this playoffs than Russell Wilson?
I say no. I think he's because they've played well, but can you definitively say they've played so well that they need to cut him the check?
I think if you ignore the last 3 weeks.
Well, I don't think you get to.
No, you don't get
I
to.
I don't think it works like that. Because their opener, we're all assuming Baltimore beats Cleveland. Biggest spread in the NFL this season, 18.
I think that's a fair assumption.
Like the yodeler on the Price is Right, just keeps climbing up. It'll be like 27 by the time we get to kickoff. So it's Pittsburgh at Houston. You know I don't like the must-win game. That's a must-win game for Russell Wilson to hang in Pittsburgh.
If you lay the egg the final 3 weeks of the season and then go to Houston and lose a playoff game, you can't come back.
At a point, it's starting to feel like a must-win for Tomlin, too.
Whew. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I don't think he is, but yeah. I know that every time they don't win a playoff game, no matter how good the regular season is, people are going to get more mad at him.
That's a game. Houston's not good right now. That's when you got to win. If you win that and you go play the Chiefs, I don't think anybody...
It happens.
Nobody's demanding you beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead, a well-rested Chiefs team. Mm-hmm. Nobody's demanding that. I think it's fair to say you got to handle your business against Houston, though.
Yeah, I agree. And then the other teams, I don't know who is on the hot seat, but Bills and Ravens need to win.
The problem with the Ravens is they had their chance. They had Kansas City at home, had them dead to rights in the second half, couldn't finish. And it was Lamar had the chance, and that the offense laid an egg. They'll never get a chance that good again. Buffalo had their chance a couple years ago, left them 13 seconds. They drove down one. It feels like Buffalo's just definitively better this year. I'd be surprised if Buffalo doesn't win. Your problem there is if Buffalo wins, it'd be hard to win that game, right? They'll get beat up in that game, and then you're going to Kansas City against a pretty well-rested team. It's a tough draw for them. I think that Cincinnati's the wild card in that if they could sneak in, we're all waiting to see what they could do.
If Cincinnati makes it and wins a playoff game, I still think they should fire Zach Taylor.
Wouldn't that be? I don't think they will, because I don't think the Chiefs will let him in, because the Chiefs can hold the cards here. I don't think they're super interested in a playoffs that involves playing a 7-seed Cincinnati, because that's not been a historically great matchup for them. I think both teams, Vikings and Steelers, who have important quarterback decisions to make this offseason, should let their guy walk. I don't think they should pay Darnold, and I don't think they should pay Russ. I think you should roll with your young guys.
I think we were talking about the AFC. The NFC, everyone's happy to be there.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone has high expectations. I mean, you have high expectations, but you don't have, if we lose, it's over.
I think the team
the Lions.
I think the team that has the hand-wringing is probably Atlanta, because they were so all-in with Kirk, and it just didn't work out at all.
Right.
Tampa. Tampa lost to Atlanta twice early in the year. What a nice thing for them. They get to have a playoff game. They're happy winners.
Yeah, obviously Washington's happy to be there. Obviously Vikings, this felt like a rebuild. The Rams, hey, look at us.
Yeah.
Packers, hey, look at us.
Yeah, absolutely. The Eagles.
Mad about everything anyway. It doesn't matter.
Always. the Lions, it feels like... that's the one where, like, the window's going to close at some point soon. Ben Johnson may bounce. I loved the Adam Schefter reporting on Ben Johnson, who, as you know, was close to being the new Commanders coach, no matter what anybody tries to tell you in retrospect. And I love Dan Quinn. I'm just telling you, he was a very early favorite in the running for that. The Bears want him, but he wants to fire the GM and bring his own guy. Now, that doesn't sit well with the current GM, Ryan Poles, of the Bears, obviously. So the Adam Schefter reporting was that Ryan Poles is essentially leading the search away from Ben Johnson. Now, ownership there is bad. But if you're the GM and you're scared for your job of hiring a good coach, you shouldn't be there. That's unless you've done some amazing thing, and he hasn't. Now, here's the problem with this Bears job. If they give it to Ben Johnson, he's going to bring the assistant GM from here with him. That's his guy, Newmark.
Right.
I don't want that. You know, we got a dream team here. I don't want any of that going out to the Bears. Sometimes you can't avoid these things. The Colts need a coach now. I don't know if you saw this. Pat McAfee went off on the Colts.
I did see this.
Did you see the coach's response?
No.
So Pat McAfee's thing was, guys are late to meetings and the coach doesn't do anything about it and there's no discipline and everybody's disorganized. So they asked the Colts coach about it and he said, yeah, you know, not everybody's going to be on time for every meeting.
Ooh.
That's not a good response in the NFL.
I mean, it's not like Pat McAfee has a quarterback on a show every week that would kind of lead a culture like that.
Yeah, and he is a Colts legend. McAfee
is. Yeah.
Obviously, he was at the Peyton era. It was the right time to be there. But he's a Colts legend. His words carry double. And when he says there's no discipline, guys don't show up to meetings on time, and your response is, what? that's an impossibly high standard, asking guys to be on time for these football meetings. That's not...
That's a bad look. It's really bad.
It's a really bad look. So I think the Colts need a coach, too.
I think everything in Indianapolis is bad right now.
Yeah, and I don't think they got the right guy at quarterback either. It's because I love watching Richardson play. I just don't know. Long-term, is that your guy or not your guy? The one team we haven't talked about in the AFC is Miami, who could also still
sneak more likely than Cincinnati to make it, technically.
That's correct. I don't... Miami at Buffalo feels like a total non-event to me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the Saturday,
that's
like,
that
1
Steelers p.m. Steelers-Bills game last year.
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh, everyone knows that that's going Bills. This is even more than that.
I'm also trying to figure out when Washington would play. I think you're probably going to run Pittsburgh-Houston as your like, primetime Sunday night game. So the biggest game goes 4:30 Sunday. That feels like Packers-Eagles. I think the Packers are rolling. The Eagles are, of course...
Yeah, that's a good game.
That's a good game, name teams. That feels like your Sunday 4:30 game. Your Sunday night game is the second biggest one. The only thing is, they've only ever taken 4 or 5 games on Monday night. They do the Monday night playoff game, which we all agree is stupid and should be shot into the sun. There's two things about the Monday night playoff game. One is... that team has to then play the next Sunday. They can't play the Saturday the next week. The second thing about that is they've always done a 4-5 game because if you do the another game, there could other matchups have to wait until...
Right.
So the Saturday team may not know who they're going to play until Tuesday, which is kind of unfair to them. So we need to shoot the Monday night playoff game into the sun. Everybody agrees on that. If there was a Monday night playoff game, and it has to be the 4-5. I feel like Tampa's had it every year, so it probably wouldn't be them. I think that would become Pittsburgh-Houston. And then are we the Sunday night game now? Rams-Commanders. I think it's a sneaky good game. Bucks-Commanders, I don't know. Bucks-Commanders feels like a Saturday.
Which I still am leaning as the higher percentage.
You think the Bucks are the higher percentage? I just think the Rams are going to play. I think the Rams will play to win.
I don't back up Rams against a Seahawks team that Geno wants his money.
Geno is going to get his record. Geno is going to get his. I'm not even a little bit worried about that. But you got to find a Monday night game.
We've just seen the Rams when they haven't played their guys.
They're terrible. We all agree the Saturday afternoon dud game is Buffalo Denver or Buffalo Miami. There is no intrigue.
But it could be Buffalo Cincy.
Well, then now you're
and
back.
And then that's
a different animal right there. Yeah.
God, if you're Buffalo, that sucks.
So if it's Commanders Bucks, you got to bury that, I think, too.
Probably.
So that's a Saturday nighter, or Saturday afternoon. Either way, I like the idea of playing Tampa. You've sold me on that. I feel really good about that.
Because that feels like it's buried because it just seems like Washington's going to win that.
I don't have a good feeling on the Dallas game. We'll dive into that more tomorrow. We got 2 hours with you tomorrow, of course, 10 to noon. I don't have a good feeling on this Dallas game. If they lose, they're going to Philly. That's got Saturday night 0-degree vibes on it. And I trust Jaden. I don't want Jaden in 0-degree weather in Philly. We did a night game in Philly once. It didn't go well. That would be my least favorite of all the possible outcomes. The other crazy outcome here, the Vikings could beat the Lions this week.
That they could.
And Detroit's then your 5 seed, which is insane.
And they beat the Rams, I'd imagine, pretty handily.
They handle everything. But then as a 5, they would have to go back to Minnesota the next week, and we just run that game back one more time. It's fun. It's a fun time of year. We love it. Love hanging out with you guys. Of course, Commanders-Cowboys rivalry game will be this weekend. You'll hear it on The Fan, 1 o'clock Sunday. We're back tomorrow. We'll make some picks. We'll have some fun. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.